Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting Ask for the Ancient Science of Sahaji, and it is Saturday evening, July 4th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. And I welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And what we basically do, for those people who haven't listened before, is, in case you haven't read the preview or looked at our website or anything, we talk about this very ancient spiritual teaching and what the purpose is and what the goals are in this teaching. We talk about Sahaji, which is out-of-body travel, and how that gets us closer to our to the three goals that we have on the path. Now, we have a leader of the teaching who is the 973rd Living Sirosha Master. He's known as the Mahaji and the 973rd Living Sirosha Master, and his name is Sri Kadavji. And Sri Kadavji, I'd like to welcome you to the show this evening and appreciate that you're here with us for every show that we air. How are you this evening, Sri Kadavji?
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for asking. Now, this is not a rote show where we start out at a certain place every week. We do try to cover some of the basic fundamentals so people who haven't listened before will get a grasp of the general foundation of the teaching. But with that, I'd like to talk a little bit about that we have three goals in Akata. And if you don't think it's too precipitous to start there, Sri Kadavji, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's fine. We can segue into that from the short definition. I always like to start with the ancient science of Sahaji. And in that science, there are the three goals, which are very important. And they are self-realization, God-realization, and Sirosha mastery. Now, the word Sirosha is a derivation of the word spirit. It's a very ancient, the most ancient word for spirit, the origin of the term. And the reason for that, the word Sra and Sha, which are in that word, Sra Osha, represents the higher Sanskrit language. And in that language, the Sra is the word for sound, and the sha is the word for light. So in English, that means the sound and light. And that means that Akata is a sound and light path, or the sound and light path. We say the most direct and the only path, and that we usually lose 99% of our audience at that point because supposedly an audacious remark. But there always has to be the center of something, and we consider Akata the central teaching, therefore the only one that gets you to liberation. So it's a logical factor and the facts of the experience in itself. We also go on to teach about the fact in that short definition, the word Sahaji, which is another higher Sanskrit word. And the reason why we use that language is it has the highest vibration. And really, there's not much connotation unless you define it. And then we define it in English where you have Sahaji would be the out-of-body experience or spirit or soul travel, any type of motion. But it's one word. It's not two words or a phrase. It's the one word for this movement of spirit, the essence of man, which we call the sound and light essence that we can hear as the sound and see it as the light. When we see the light, we're actually seeing the sound in reverse. When we hear the sound, we're actually hearing the light. And that is the essence of man. When he hears his high electrical pitch within them, that's the essence of man in that experience. So we call Akata an experiential path because one can actually experience immediately this sound current, which is their essence as the eternal soul. In other words, we don't talk about soul as a third person, like I have a soul. We say I am soul, and therefore we speak from the soul plane and not from the lower planes that we talk about in the the path, we have the first four planes, which are the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. And that is the area of movement that we need to negotiate from to gain the liberation in the fifth dimension. And that's basically Akachen in a nutshell, is this idea of getting out of the lower regions, the lower vibrations. And these are the planes of negativity. Actually, the lower worlds are the positive polarities of negative and positive. People say, well, isn't positive good? Well, it is good, but it isn't really neutrality. It's not in the middle, and it's not going to get you to liberation. They say, well, how can goodness not get you liberation? Well, it can get you good karma. And we talked about karma and reincarnation. Good karma is obviously good, but if you have another incarnation in good karma, there's a predilection and a tendency to fall prey to the negative side. See, so the whole idea is to learn about the neutral path or the middle path, the true middle path the Buddha talked about, is the path of Akacha. And the word itself means equilibrium or balance. And so therefore, when you get into this balancing point, you'll be going beyond good and evil. All right, now we're not saying not to be good. We didn't say that. I mean, the moral issue is a default where one will actually go to this essence of soul. And the essence of soul is a happy entity, and it's a moral entity. It's a good entity. But there is a paradox. See, we have the limitations of language, which means that, well, how do we call soul? Well, we call it pure positive. And therefore, now we put another adjective on positive. At the same time, it's a state of being or experience. We can hear the sound current, and that's the default mechanism. When we hear the sound current, it's naturally moral. We don't have to be worried about commandments and all these things. That soul naturally default to its pure positive realm. It'll be pure in itself because it is. But sometimes it's hard to get to that level, especially in the lower worlds, because there's so much negativity right now. And people can see that around the world. There is a lot of negativity, but there's also very good things also. Years ago, I had a lady stand up in one of my lectures, and she said, we talk about the negative worlds and negativity a lot. And I said, and I didn't answer. And I said, well, I mean, you need to point this out. It needs to be mentioned. And not to dwell in it, but to realize its reality. We don't want to be naive at the fact that it doesn't exist. In other words, to turn tail and just live a positive life and not really recognize negativity is naive. And therefore, we're not naive on the path of Akacha, but we don't dwell in negativity. We're aware of it, but we don't dwell there. We avoid it at all possibilities and confront it when necessary. But the best way to avoid it is the nature of mantra chanting. And we talk about the Q mantra, which is a universal word that people can use to get into that neutral point we're talking about. In other words, we're beyond the good and evil, and therefore you're in that middle path, the true middle path of Akacha. That gives the liberation in the fifth dimension. In the fifth dimension, there is only pure positive. There's no negativity in the higher planes. So that's very important. When we talk about liberation, and they talk about the idea of being saved in religions, the word saved really is it doesn't really give the essence of when we say liberation, you're being liberated from something. Saved would be more of a negative term, saved from evil. Liberation still has that in there, but it really has more of an essence to it when we talk about it. So we offer that experience in the first goal that we were talking about earlier of self-realization in this fifth plane. And that self-realization comes as an ecstatic experience, because now we are dwelling in that high state of pure positive God worlds, that first level in the fifth plane. And it goes on for eternity. So maybe you'd like to talk about the goals in terms of their paralleling with the planes. Maybe you'd like to do that. Since I revealed them, that helps you talk about how they, okay, so go ahead, Leslie, if you will.
Thank you. Yes, I'd be happy to. Self-realization occurs when one reaches the fifth plane, which is the first plane of what is called the higher worlds. And as you said, everything is pure positive energy there. So there's no opposites, whereas we have opposites in the lower planes. Hot and cold, light and dark, everything has its opposite. Those are just simple examples. But in the higher planes, it's pure positive energy. And when one reaches the fifth plane, then they get their fifth initiation, which is the initiation of self-realization. And it's a state of consciousness that really brings about the knowledge of the self. And at this point, the soul begins to realize who it is and the mission that it must accomplish, because its mission is actually to accomplish the next two goals of God realization and spiritual mastery. But before we leave self-realization, I just want to say that this is an ecstatic place to reach, because when we reach this level, we have complete command of ourselves as soul, and where there is no doubt of anything, we are firmly ensconced on the spiritual path, and we've got a great amount of spiritual survival within us, or spiritual strength within us, that comes from reaching this point. So it's a place of true conviction for soul. And then the next goal after that is to reach God realization, and that is actually reached on the eighth plane, which is called the Hukikot Loke. And each of these planes have different sounds. For example, the sounds on the eighth plane, the sound is of 1,000 violins. But with God realization, then soul is realizing its connection to God, or we use the spiritual higher Sanskrit word for God, Akshar, on the path of Akata. So it's realizing its connection to Akshar, and it's starting to understand what its job will be within the universe, because there are jobs on both the inner and outer planes, and certain jobs will be more palatable for each individual soul, such as some of the spiritual masters or guardians of the temples of golden wisdom. They're teaching satsang, the spiritual classes on the inner. There are different masters doing different jobs within the universe. So on the eighth plane, we start to get the connection of who we are as soul in relation to Akshar, in relationship to God. But then we get reach our final goal when we're actually at the 10th level, what's also called the Anami Lok, or the nameless world. And it's interesting, because there's a quote in the Haji's book 2 that talks about the Anami Lok, and it says briefly this: the 10th plane is the Anami Lok, or the nameless world. There isn't anything to say about it because it is beyond vocabulary in the human language. The word Hu, the universal name of God, which is in the language of every living thing. It is everywhere in everything. So that's very interesting, because we know we've arrived at spiritual mastery when we've gotten to that level. And this is not the end of our initiations on the path. There are masters on the path of Akrata today who are well beyond that 10th initiation level. But this is our ultimate goal, is to get to that spiritual master level. Sri Kadakji, have I left anything out, or is there anything that you would like to add to what I've said?
I think you did very well, and I really appreciate the explanation. It's very advanced and very well thought out, and I really respect that. Also, Leslie is a spiritual master, too, and being a higher initiate like we are, this perspective is given once one realizes their Madhiship, the fifth initiation, where they become the Sat Guru. In other words, you have the silver tongue of speech. You have the ability, as I call it, self-speak. In higher Sanskrit, it's called the Apnati, A-P-N-O-T-I. And that means that once one achieves the Sat Guruship, they have the capability of teaching truth. And they have this capability stays with them throughout the goals in Akita. In other words, once one achieves mastery, it doesn't mean they're a master over people, but they're mastering their own state of consciousness. Excuse me, in the first level of self-realization, it's this very valuable identity in spirit. In other words, we can talk about it, but until one experiences it, they don't get the enlightenment in terms of this tremendous realization of the fact in the matter. In other words, we can talk about things all day long, but until somebody experiences it, it really is nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Therefore, when we give the basic fundamentals and we teach as spiritual masters, there's a drawing of the sound current to the middle flame of the Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R, which is the power, I should say, of the Akshar, which is the central god of the universe, and that term is a high vibration. In other words, if one chants the Q chant or any of these higher Sanskrit words, there's a very strong feeling that one will enhance in their lives. I mean, people already have strong feelings. The problem is they equate it as emotion sometimes, which comes from the word accelerated motion. And therefore, there's a condemnation of feelings by psychology, because you're not supposed to have feelings. You're supposed to be very neutral, and it turns into coldness and ignoring people. And there's a lack of joy in the world, especially during the Iron Age that we're presently in, where I always get a kick out of the fact you go in the marketplace, and I guess everybody's studying the idea of ignore 101. You see what I mean? In other words, people don't know how to outflow, because they're damaged goods based upon all this negativity and shielding things and being concerned, and they don't have the experience of who they are. So therefore, to outflow is dangerous for people because they have strong feelings. You see, everybody has this essence of soul, which is a minimum of 10,000 suns of power. So with all the people in the marketplace flashing this tremendous power through the eyesight, they're afraid to confront people with the eyes because they don't even know their own power. See, so therefore, people ignore people all the time, and there's no joy in their lives. So when people learn to, when they step onto the path, which is free, the membership is free, that we don't sell books, we don't sell seminars, there's no hidden costs or donations later on. We don't do lost leaders and say, oh, here's this, but then later on we charge you. No, we don't do that, none of that. So once one steps onto the path, there is a sense of joy where people learn how to wax increase or give to people, and then they receive things in return because of it. So it's an idea of the outflow that we learn not to be fearful of and just give the energy. See, it's a mirror. Our eyes are mirrors of the universe. They're not windows of the soul. That's just silly, because we're just mirrors, mirrors of the universe, the Akshar, the eternal mirror. And people are always saying, well, what's this idea of monotheism and polytheism? Well, the idea would be simply be, as I try to explain and I explain it, is that we all look out from this huge, gigantic mirror. But then a teacher years ago in 9th Initiative talked about how we're like the shattered mirror, or as I say, it's in relativity, it's in curved space. But in reality, we're all looking out from a flat surface. That's when they started in ancient times, talked about the flat plane business, where they were misconstruing the whole thing. Because the mirror of God, the Akshar, is we're all looking out from this gigantic, huge, pristine mirror, but there's multiple souls looking out from one mirror. So that's the explanation by the living Sarosha Master of the time, myself, in terms of polytheism and monotheism. You can't go anywhere else and get those explanations. We have all the logic and all the essence there, that's possible in a state of total awareness on the path of Akita. Now, I realize, again, I said this earlier, it turns people off because they claim the hubris or the audacity of all that. But, again, there has to be a central power. There has to be a central path to be able to get to liberation. People say, well, isn't it just chaos and it's nothing? Well, even Ilya Prigogine, who was a Nobel Prize winner for the book Order Out of Chaos, got to the fact that, well, it's God is not really chaotic. But then you get the atheists that say, well, there's oblivion. There's nothing exists. And I say, well, who said that? Didn't the consciousness just say that? And I often say, well, the atheist is trapped in their own consciousness, you see? And I think it's rather amusing because when they declare oblivion and the nothingness, well, who's saying that? You know, somebody, some consciousness has to say it. You can't be unconscious to actually reveal a state of awareness, right? So I always get a kick out of that, how they're trapped in their own state of consciousness eternally. But then, again, you don't have to be trapped in it. You can actually be exuberant about the fact in your state of consciousness, especially when you become a Sirocha master. And you just let loose. As Paul Twitchell, my mentor and guide, said years ago, loosen and let go, and you will fly to the higher worlds. You see what I mean? So you just letting go is a state of the outflow, which will never destroy you, because it's a state of the Sirocha consciousness, you see? So it can never harm you. You just have to give and give until you give some more. And if you feel pain, so what? It goes away. You see, so our world is messed up in the lower worlds because we've stopped giving and we start retreating and we become, what's that word? We become depressed and introverted, the introversion business, you know. And people hang on to that. They don't let go, you see. And that's why they're not happy. But it's a real simple fact. I always say if people are blue or depressed, just go in the mirror and start laughing. There's that thing, fake it to make it, right? It's really hilarious how, in the irony of hilariousness of laughing in a mirror, how you start to do a fake laugh, which becomes real. Because the reason why it becomes real, because we are happy entities at its source. Think about that. The reality of happiness occurs if we fake it, because our essence is joyful. So if we can get to the joy by just making it up, why not? Because that just proves that we are joyful. But we just don't do it because people, they get pain. They can feel pain. And I understand that. I mean, people, definitely there's fear that's waxed by the, we call the Kalmaranjan, is the god of the lower worlds. It's the he god. The Akshar is a divine it. It's neither, it's no gender. It's attributeless and has no gender. And then the atheist would argue, well, that's an attribute, or the philosopher would argue that that's an attribute. But we're not in this for an argument. We're in it for giving of the basic fundamentals of the Sirocha and getting back to the liberation on the fifth plane. If we stay with the basics, one will find ecstasy in their life. If they do, well, we haven't talked about the contemplation too, Leslie. Why don't you do that? That's near and dear to your heart. So you go right ahead and talk about that, if you will.
Sure. Of course, and this is the one thing that is strongly recommended that someone do on the path, and that is to do a 30-minute contemplation technique, an inner spiritual exercise that we do daily. And the reason that we do that is because this strengthens our connection to Sirocha, and it really gives us a firmer stance on the path and helps us become more balanced and facilitates our spiritual unfoldment so that we reach our three goals in a much quicker way. So the way that it's done is when one's doing a spiritual contemplation, we are sitting in a comfortable chair in a quiet place, as quiet as possible. Use earplugs if necessary. We can have our feet flat on the floor, or we can have them in Indian style, you know, tailor fashion, as long as we're comfortable. And then we close our eyes and we take a few deep breaths to relax ourselves, and we put our attention on what's called the third eye, or the tizratil. Gently. We don't force our attention here, but we're gently looking into the tizratil. And at the same time, we can start chanting the word hue, which is, as I mentioned earlier, the word from the 10th plane of spiritual mastery, and that is another word that means God. So the vibrations are extremely high, and it will just knock out any kind of negativity that's in the area, whether you use it on the inner or the outer. So it's very important because it sets the spiritual stage during the contemplation technique. So we can do that for a few minutes or as long as we're comfortable doing it. And afterwards, we're still keeping our attention on the third eye. During the contemplation technique, you might have various experiences. One is that you can hear the sound current, which sounds to many like a high-pitched electrical sound, although it does have different sounds on the various inner planes, because it can also be heard as different musical sounds depending on what plane that you're on. But that's very important to listen to tune into that, because that means that spirit is flowing through you, spirit's flowing through you, which is, you know, one of the main reason that we're doing this contemplation technique. So we might hear our sound. Normally we will hear our sound, and actually you can hear that any time throughout the day, but it comes in stronger during the contemplation. We also might see a light, a white light or a blue light, which is the blue light of the master, the inner master, Srikaratsu, which just means that he's there beside you, ready to guide you if needed. We might have an out-of-body experience. Now, you are, as soon as you close your eyes, you're actually having an out-of-body experience, but you might have a very vivid one where you find yourself on another plane or in a satsang at one of the temples of Golden Wisdom or any range of different spiritual experiences. There is never anything to fear during these experiences, because that hue puts us in a place where nothing negative can happen to us. So enjoy yourself if you're traveling in Sahaji consciously, and just enjoy the fact that this spiritual technique, the contemplation, is moving you forward towards your goals in Akata. Srikaraji, we've got about
Can you give an example of the hue?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I normally do that. And the hue is just, it's spelled H-U, and it just sounds like this. Hue. See how calming that is and how it raises the vibrations. We've got about 2 minutes left, Rikachi. Were there some final thoughts that you wanted to mention?
Thank you very much for that rendition of the contemplation, which is very important. And it's a daily practice. We want to emphasize 30 minutes per day. It's not a mandate, but it's highly suggested to do that. As Leslie said earlier, it's the way to learn to see on the inner planes and travel back to the higher realms of God. And it's very important from that standpoint. At the same time, as I said, it's not a mandate, but it's recommended to do it 30 minutes each day, which gives 24 hours of stamina and energy to get through the day. And it's not 20 minutes, or it's 30 minutes minimum. Because you can see 5 minutes equates to 4 hours of energy. So it's a pure science. That's why we call it the science of Sahaji, the ancient science of Sahaji, because it is a science and a practice, physical practice, to gain this liberation. The movement of soul through the lower planes is done by seeing this movement on the inner planes. And therefore, the state of contemplation is very critical to do every day, for 30 minutes. Are we getting down
Thank you, Srikaratsu. Yes, we are getting in. I just want to be, before I turn it over to you to end, I want to thank everyone for being with us and to take a look, suggest taking a look at our website, akata.com, to download any of the free books, listen to any of the audios. And again, you can listen to these archives And anything, as Srikant, you mentioned earlier, everything we do is free. So feel free to go to Akita.com for more information. Srikant, we've got about 20 seconds left, so I will turn it over to you for the end.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bashad.